The primary purpose of this meeting is to inform the public of a proposed project and to provide you the opportunity to ask questions on the project, to make comments, and to just give you the opportunity to make your thoughts known to the Maine Department of Environmental Protection. The other representatives with me today are Patrick Arnold, who you just heard from, who is the Director of Operations and Business Development for the Maine Port Authority. Brian Downey from the Maine Port Safety Forum and Maine Pilot Commission. And from the Corps of Engineers, John Kennelly, our Chief of Planning, Barbara Blumeris, the Study Manager for this project, Stephen Wolf, our Program Manager for the New England District's Dredge Material Disposal Area Monitoring System. Kathy Rogers is an ecologist with our evaluation branch. And Jay Clement, who's our chief of the Maine Regulatory Office close by. And of course, the staff of the Public Affairs Office who you met as you came in. And thank you for coming. The agenda for today is following this very short introduction. Barbara Blumeris will provide an overview of the Corps' role in the navigation improvement projects and the specifics of the Searsport Harbor Navigation Project. Following her, Steve Wolf will provide a description of the studies conducted in selecting the dredge material placement site for the project. And then I will open this for your questions, comments, concerns. Ladies and gentlemen, Barbara Blumeris.
Hi, I'm Barbara Blumeris. I'm with the Army Corps of Engineers, and I'm the study manager on the Searsport Harbor Navigation Improvement Project. I'm glad to see that everybody was able to come to the meeting today, and we'll learn today about the project and the studies, many studies that we've already completed on this project. So now I'll get started with the PowerPoint. This first slide is for your information and place where you can go to find the studies that we've done on this improvement project. This is the Corps' website on the top, and then below the next line is where you can send comments to Maine DEP for the water quality cert. This PowerPoint today and Steve's PowerPoint that's going to follow mine will be posted up on our website. So now a little history of the project. People say, why is the Corps doing this study? We are doing it because we were requested by Congress. We're a federal agency, and we work for Congress and for you. And we were requested to do this study. In 2000, there was a study authorization to look at improvements to Searsport Harbor. Maine DOT is the study sponsor. And Patrick Arnold is here today representing the Port Authority and the DOT. The role across the nation is for the Corps and is to assist in providing reliable and efficient waterborne transportation into harbors across the country, whether it's in Maine, Boston, New York, Florida, out on the California coast, Texas, Mississippi. So this is one of the many things that we do as an agency. This study is now in the feasibility phase. So this is a part where we look at the improvement, we do an environmental assessment. So right now we're in a feasibility study. As part of this, we're going to file for a water quality cert with the state of Maine this spring. This water quality cert is required to go forward with our report to our headquarters. Then after, assuming we being optimistic, if we did eventually get approval, we would then have authorization and that's required prior to any design or construction. But first we have to go through the step-by-step process, and the next step right now is water quality cert. Because I know a lot of people have asked about the schedule, so it's a step-by-step process. Okay, so here we are, a diagram showing where the existing project is that was authorized in 62. That's the federal channel, currently authorized at 35 feet, although there is some shoaling. And then you can see the Penobscot River to the right to give you a locator. So this is a description of the navigation project. This is what's currently authorized. It was constructed in 1964, and it was about 465,000 cubic yards of dredge material removed at that time and disposed in the upper Penobscot Bay. This resulted in a 3,500 foot long channel in front of the piers at a depth of minus 35 feet mean low, low water at that time. It's, as I mentioned, totaled slightly since then. There has been no maintenance dredging on this project since construction. And there's a 1,500 foot wide turning basin in front of the piers. Here is the port. Established in 1903, this port has been, as you know, a seaport for many years. It was originally at one point, a lot of coal came in through here. And over time, the port has changed. In 2003, the state constructed the new cargo pier to replace the old railroad pier. And the purpose of this pier is for bulk carriers to bring in different products, to have products shipped out. And then we have the liquid pier. This is where the petroleum products come in. And at the facility itself, we have different, that port facility, there's different storage areas, lay down areas, warehouses, all needed for transportation of goods. Okay, so here we have the liquid pier, which receives the petroleum products, and these are the types of, some of the bulk material that comes into that bulk, new state bulk pier: chemicals, salt, gypsum, clay, machinery, wind turbines, one of the recent things. So why do we need additional depth? Patrick spoke a little bit about that, and David Gelinas has spoken about this at other meetings, but since the 1960s, ships have changed. They're now double-hulled, which is good, proves safety in case of an accident, less chance of a contamination of a spill. The insurance industry requires greater underkill clearance, so if you have a 40-foot draft coming in, you have to have 4 feet between the bottom and the seafloor for protection. And ships have gotten bigger, and they now draft deeper. This diagram just shows the change in size of ships over time. And they're continuing, so new ships being built today are deeper draft than they were back in the 60s. This is a diagram on, just to give people, if you're not familiar with it, and I'm sure many are here, but just for those that aren't, the underkeel clearance, when I speak of that, is this distance between the bottom of the ship and the seafloor. So right now at 10%, say you had a 40-foot ship, that would be 4 feet. And then the loaded draft would be say 40, if it's loaded to 40. If you have a ship that's designed to draft at 44, then you have 4 feet in this case of my example of, not that I have any numbers here, but this just would not be able to be used in that particular case. So the depth of the water in the channel determines the loading of the ship and the underkill clearance requirement. So you have to have enough to provide both of these. Okay, so the objective of this project is to decrease navigation inefficiencies for ships calling at the port. So this is, our mission is navigation, looking at ways to keep the port efficient. And the federal interest is established based on reduced cost of commodity transport. So a deeper draft will allow ships to load deeper and use larger vessels, achieving economies of scale. And this is true about ports across the country. So here's how we calculate the benefits. We're looking at a lower per ton transportation cost. That's basically what happens when we calculate the national economic development benefits, bringing the volume in at a lower cost per ton. This is the benefit used by the Corps, as I mentioned, across the nation. And the analysis isn't for today or tomorrow, it's over a 50-year project life. So the feasibility study we looked at with and without project conditions, so that would be with the existing going on for the next 50 years versus considering a range of improvements from minus 37 to minus 42. In the feasibility study for read-through the analysis, we selected the minus 44-foot depth for the new channel improvement project recommended. So this is the recommended project in the feasibility study. We would deepen the channel to minus 40. This is the existing project in red. Blue is the proposed project. We would add a maneuvering area adjacent to the east berth of the cargo pier. That's dimensions here on that. And then this improvement would result in removing 892,000 cubic yards of material. To get to do the improvement, we would also have to, at the same time, remove 37,100 cubic yards of maintenance or shoal material. This is the plan view of the proposed project. And what we have here is Sears Island. Okay, so you can orient yourself. Mack Point over here with the piers and the channel. And now what we're going to look at here is a cross section through the turning basin. So this is an example of the dredge material to be dredged through that cross section. So when the Corps does, eventually if they will go to do forward to design, would have a series of cross sections. But here's one as an example. This is the shoulder material and then the different amounts of improvement material. As you can see, the existing obviously is irregular. So this is how we calculate this amount to come up with the quantities to be removed. So we test the material. So we're going to remove this material, but we want to test it to see what it looks like. And I know this is a big concern that many in this room have. So we did 10 vibrocores for sediment, both physical and chemical testing. We also did 5 borings plus 1 probe to give us a geological description of the area. That's the geotechnical appendix. So these reports are up again on that website, the Patel report, the geotechnical appendix. We also did a marine geophysical investigation that helps us to look at the subsurface, to look for any archaeological sites. It also helps again to characterize the area geologically. This is the location of where we did the testing. So these are, I just wanted to demonstrate, this is the red is the existing channel, the blue is proposed, where we took vibrocores and borings. And again, orient yourself, this is Mack Point, and on the top is Sears Island. Okay, so we had, I know this is a big concern that people have is regarding the mercury. We've heard this comment that people are very concerned about this issue. The project area, we did 4 composites. The total mercury was 42 to 129 parts per billion in those composites. That's again in the Patel report. We also tested the material at the disposal site with 3 grabs, and the average there was 145 parts per billion. Now I'm going to show you, this is from the study that's been talked a lot about. There's Whole Train Chemical and National Resource Defense Council have an ongoing study on the Penobscot River. And they've done a lot of testing, similar, in the actually it's funny, in the same time frame that we were doing ours. They were collecting data too, and then continuing into court. So we have the phase one study, we have the phase one update, we have the phase two study. So here we have the sample sites that they tested materials that were close to where we are working. So I don't know, but here is ES7, and there's, you can see Mack Point, where I have my red laser pointer. Okay, so that's ES7. Down here is another site that they had in that independent study, ES8. This is the disposal site about here, where I have my red pointer. Okay, so now we'll look at the next slide. Here's ES7. Now, I showed you earlier what our results were. Here's ES7, their results, independent study. ES8, independent study. You can see that our results and their results are low. And this red line here is the phase two study is the 450 that they proposed for the target cleanup in the Penobscot River. Up in the river. So you can see, I hope that you can see anyway, how low our values are and how low these are. So compared to the area up in the Penobscot River. Okay, so the project material was tested, not just for mercury, but for all metals, organics, and determined to be suitable for disposal at the three sites. We did consider three in the feasibility study, although we're focusing in now on the Penobscot site. Looked at Belfast Bay, Penobscot, and Rockland, but the recommended is the Penobscot site in the feasibility study. We coordinated during the study with the different federal and state agencies, National Marine Fisheries Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, EPA, Maine Resource Agencies, and the Maine Historic Preservation Office. To protect environmental resources in the bay, and this is important, is that we would avoid doing any dredging or disposal during the productive months. So we would be looking at doing this project from November 8th to April 9th to avoid impacts to Atlantic salmon and other natural resources in Penobscot Bay. So that would be the time frame. Oops, sorry. That would be the time frame if this project were to ever go forward that we would do it is in November 8th till April 9th, 5 months in the winter. Long Cove area would be dredged first in the fall. That would be in after November 8th to avoid impact to winter fauna, the spawn annuals. Then we would move out and do the channel. There would be no scull overflow allowed during the dredging. We would have inspectors to ensure that would not happen. And we would have targeted dredge material disposal, which Steve Wolf will talk more about our dredging and disposal technique shortly. So then we've had some questions about eelgrass, and we did look at eelgrass. We first looked at the information available from the state of Maine, got their mapping, which is shown over here, the eelgrass mapping along Sears Island. That's what's mapped by the state. But we also did our own surveys in those areas that we thought would have eelgrass, which would be these maneuvering area here. So we did a survey there, but we did not find any. However, in coordination with National Marine Fisheries Service, we agreed to, when we go to construction in the future, that we would go back and resurvey the eelgrass to ensure that there aren't any eelgrass beds in the area of construction that would be impacted. As I mentioned, we also look for archaeological resources. So here is, for instance, we did find a old schooner, wooden schooner lost in May 1938. Boiler blew up and it burned. And so this was lost. We did find it during our survey. And we aligned the channel to avoid it. So, and we've coordinated that with the State Historic Preservation Office. So here we have the proposed project area, which is the existing Federal Navigation Channel Improvement Project, and then the disposal area in the Penobscot Bay. And now I'd like to turn the mic over to Steve Wolf, who will talk more about dredging and disposal.